it was kind of caught us off guard that this was being drafted and we weren't being consulted in this process, because in our efforts to be stewards of this space, Senator Keokalole was involved, Rep. Kitagawa was involved, we had Ko'olau Poko Hawaiian Civic Club, Ahamoku. And so given all of these different interactions that we went through to get to this place in stewardship, why wouldn't we be included in a long-term stewardship agreement? And I've been asking for that language for 2 weeks now. And so I just had to ask Ahamoku today for that. So hopefully we're able to have access to that. I see I have 15 seconds left. I have more to share. So I'm going to end my testimony here and then ask for a second round. Mahalo.
If you have more testimony, you can also submit it in writing, and it'll be gathered the exact same way. So thank you so much for your testimony.
Yeah, thank you, Ikalamai. I just wanted to cut in and say that we have two more people who are new testifiers who signed up. So that would be Chris Kramer with the Mauna Lua Fish Pond Heritage Center, and then Thomas Fairbanks. So the chat is open for anyone else who wants to provide new testimony. And then once that's over, if we have time before 7 o'clock, we'll go ahead and let people sign up for a second round. But just to be fair, we wanted to let anyone else who wanted to provide testimony who hasn't done so before, please go ahead and put that in the chat. Thank you.
Okay, Chris Kramer, I saw you online, and so you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Yeah, aloha. I wanted to address the issue of community notification, and that's a big issue that we've seen, especially here in East Honolulu, where we get in these, really horrible situations with community never finding out about projects until the bulldozers roll in. And so there's never any kind of avenue where the community can give consultation or notify these developers beforehand of these important cultural sites. And so we're asking that when DPP gives out the permits, that there be a required, when there's grading going on, that there's a community notice, because it doesn't go to SHPTI a lot of times. It never goes to them to for review. So we're asking that community be notified through the neighborhood board, because we've seen D9s going over petroglyphs, and we've seen hillsides just whole hillsides just cut off, and burial cliffs. Now everything it's being built. The buildable land on this side is it's built out. So they're going into burial cliffs and areas that were never ever considered buildable before. Now those are the areas that are being impacted. So we need to have notice for the community, and also DPP needs to have a specific box where that notice is given to community so that we can have a voice, because right now we don't. So I wanted to share that.
Chris, we missed the last 40 seconds of the end of your testimony. I think you went mute.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Oh dear.
Is it working now?
No, I think you muted yourself. You were, but okay, are you finished with your testimony, dear?
I just say that we need a voice for community in the process before permits are given at the DPP level, because community has no notice before these projects are given the permits. And so time and time again, we're seeing you know, we've seen over the years whole mountainsides just getting, they hack off the burial cliffs, and you know, we've seen D9s going over petroglyphs. Last week they were impacting a cultural site and truckloads of rock were, you know, being removed, and we've seen this over and over, and since the East Honolulu is so built out already, now the sites that are being impacted are sites that weren't ever considered buildable in the past, and they're going into areas where there's lava tubes or water flows or cultural sites that are, you know, not areas that you would consider buildable in the past. And those are the sites that are being given permits. And so we're asking for a voice for community before the permits are given, because right now the community has no voice and we're not being notified before the permits are given for grading. So that's a DPP structural issue that historic preservation and DPP are not including the community when permits are given, so.
Okay, thank you so much, Chris Kramer, for your testimony. Last we'll have, who was it? The last testifier was
Thomas Fairbanks.
Yes, so sorry. Yes, please.
That's okay.
Take your time. Thank you.
Aloha. I'm from Maui. And my wife and I own the Owailuku Inn, Ulupono. Our home is a 100-year-old historic home on the state register, not in the national register. And about 25 years ago, we rehabilitated the home into a bed and breakfast. It's right in Owailuku town. It's kind of a landmark because it's been there 100 years and it's right on the main street of High Street. And so it's our efforts to preserve it and maintain it have been supported by the bed and breakfast inn that we operate there. But we're not in the historic district, so we have no protections. And nowadays, even though we've been permitted for 23 years, nowadays people in our sort of the industry are not looked upon fondly because there's a lot of people that have really taken advantage of it. We have operated without a complaint from any of our neighbors for the entire time we've been operating, 25 years. That's a little background on us, but I wanted to further speak on what Lorraine had to say, because the counties do not support this type of thing, which really, we're not preserving a native Hawaiian wahipana. We're preserving a sense of place for Wailuku. So we just kind of feel that the county should be more supportive of people that do this kind, and there's different ways that you have to do it to support the rehabilitation and maintenance of a historic property. Ours is of course open to the public because we're an inn, and we do special events for fundraisers for halal and stuff here on Maui to bring the community into, and it's quite a beloved place by those that have joined us here. So we're just looking for ways that the SHPTA can make awareness of different ways of managing these type of preservation projects, you know, to be open to it and to maybe figure out some flexible ways to make sure that they can continue there through, you know, prosperity, because it does really create the sense of place here in Wailuku. It helps. And that's all I have to say. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Thomas, very much for your testimony. I think I think right now we need to take a maybe a 5-minute break so that we can stretch and do what we need to do. So please come back at 6:38. We'll resume at 6:38. And when we resume at 6:38, we will go into breakout sessions. And when we're finished with that, then we will take, we'll decide what will be the next. We'll decide how much time we have left over. Okay, so right now we're gonna take a break and we're gonna return in 5 minutes at 6:38. Thank you. Okay, thank you. That was coming from S, I don't know why, one at yahoo.com. Thank you for muting that.
Yeah.
Aloha kakou, welcome back. Thank you so much, everyone that's remaining, for sticking with us. And we appreciate your testimony. What we're gonna do right now is we had some questions that we have pulled from different places, from your actual testimony, and then also from the National Park Service, and questions that were already in the preservation plan. So what we'd like to do right now is I'm gonna turn the meeting back over to Dr. Luthi, and she's gonna lead us through the next steps. What we're gonna do is we're gonna go into breakout rooms, and we have questions, and we're gonna have brainstorm groups put together, probably maybe four or five people to a group. We're going to put you in breakout rooms. We're going to allow you to speak with each other, asking with the focus these questions that we have. And then we will ask you to choose someone to be the person that will offer the testimony from the group. And then we'll share that with all of you, the information from the breakout groups we'll share in testimony in this forum. So right now I'll ask Dr. Luthi to come back on and give us the next steps. Thank you.
Okie dokie. Thank you so much, everybody, for staying on to this time. This is extremely helpful for us, and we really appreciate all the testimonies so far. You're gonna get a little window pop up in a minute here that assigns you to a breakout room, and you are gonna accept that and press join if you wanna go ahead and have a conversation about some of these questions. So I'm gonna share the first question with you all right now. Can you all see this? So the first set of questions, we're gonna take about 5 minutes.
I can't see it. I can't see the questions. Oh, okay. Yeah, here they are. Yes, okay. Thank you.
Great. So for this first breakout room, we're going to take just 5 minutes to go ahead and discuss what are the strengths of your community's efforts to preserve historic properties and what are the challenges. And so after that time, you're going to get another notification to rejoin the main group. But if not, then after about 5 minutes, everybody come back on, and then whoever is going to speak for your group, please go ahead and answer that question. So you maybe take a screenshot of this real fast of the questions. And you know, this is intended to be a little open-ended and whatever, tailored to whatever the ideas and concerns are of your group specifically. And it's a way to be a little more interactive. Okay, I'm gonna stop share. Now I'm gonna assign breakout rooms. Figure out how to do that.
And if you would just be patient with us, this is new for us, doing these type of forums. So we just ask for your patience, and thank you so much for that.
Okay, everybody should have gotten an invitation to join a breakout room, so please go ahead and do that. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
So I guess we can start, yeah.
Can I be heard?
I can hear you. I think you're still in the main session. Who's speaking? Sorry.
I'm Koei. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Camera, Can we post the questions in the chat for the group? Yeah, because some of the people didn't take the screenshot.
I'm listed as Charles. Can you hear me? I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, okay.
I can hear a person.
Yeah, I don't know how to add you to a group.
Well, we can just do it right here with these three, Mary, Ron, and then whoever's on the telephone.
First question, what are the strengths of your community efforts to preserve historic properties? Anybody want to start with that?
Okay, so I posted the questions in the chat. So whoever's left in the main group, if you're not able to...
We have a very strong neighborhood board in our community in East Honolulu. And then you also have very active community organizations that are very care and
very active.
And they're doing a lot to a lot more these places.
For Susan, when it was talking about community notification,
right? Hey, good memory.
Well, I can't hear.
Preserve historic properties.
I'm an activist, so if we're going to do something, we want to make sure I understand the process.
Right.
Just move back from the mainland after 24 years. I'm here because
preserve historic properties. Asked
me to be a bridge. I just try to catch up
here. Yeah, yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah. We don't really have a role in our community. We just find out after the permit is given, so we don't have any kind of way to say, hey, this is. I mean, we have a sustainable community plan, but they don't follow it.
Well, see, that is the one of the issues. I see. It seems to me.
Project that has a
reserve site and they could do a notification. But what we found out was actually the loophole is, as long as they put a notification in the newspaper, that's a payout. So we found Kauai burials on the Big Island. And another thing was, well, what's happening here on Kauai was we have some of the people that work for SHP signing off on burial notification, and they're not coming to the site. They're just signing it. SHP is doing FaceTime over the burial and saying, we just go to work without showing up and doing a job. And so, like I said, they get our petition paid. They pick and choose who they want involved. So when you ask how do we solve it, I feel like we the people, because the government is based on the people, right? Without the people, there is government. We got to start taking over and fighting the community because we are all getting affected multiple times. The development is the number one reason why there's the petition, because they come in and keep our waterways first. The first thing they go to, they'll fight the water. Second, they'll pollute the water. And then third, they're going to come in and do the waste management or they're going to put the septic in. And that's what we're going to care about Kahuna. And so we can put money in and intervene in these projects. And that's why they don't make it public for us. Because they don't want to come out. The more Indian we are, the better for them. Because we find like 5, 10, 15, 20 million dollars payout to our company. And then we find it. But you can say, when I'm a squaw, I'll bring down the buyer, I'll bring down the food. And then there is no cross reference to the original title of the land to the deed that is being held. And that's a big thing, normal, because you know the company knows these things, but then because they're getting paid out, they're obligated to where the money is.
I've heard something that if they do any kind of thing like transfer land and the white title or whatever, anybody who has an interest in that land as a descendant of the original owner has a right to file a claim. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, so I've done these things. It's called the process. So it, I followed him a couple of days. I've done it here on many of the properties to protect the burial. The problem is that the judiciary system is very challenged. I actually do a lot of company where they're basically telling that and get to the law, which is true. But the fact of the title can be challenged. The problem and issue is, who comes in to help us? The police officers here at Portland, they claim that they go by warrant of deed or the same case. And so the argument in court, the judge, and they're going to test you on this. So warrant of deed only guarantees the title transfer from the seller to the buyer. It doesn't guarantee title. But because I knew exactly where the title came from, the judge was then cited up. So they basically told me, oh, well, not so high, but
I have a question.
Yeah, but if you intervene prior to it and put in your paperwork and all of it, that's why this is very important for this, because public meeting becomes public order. And then from there, you do what's called a fiduciary code.
Can I ask a question? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Or not? I guess not.
Yes, you can be heard. You're heard.
Go ahead.
Am I in the meeting?
Pending,
I don't think I can be heard for some
reason. We hear you. We hear you.
Okay, so people should be joining from the breakout rooms now. The breakout rooms should all be closed or close to being closed. So we're all going to collect back in the main room. And then once we look like we have everybody back, then we'll go on to the next question.
Can you hear me then? Okay, we're going back to the meeting now.
Yes, we can hear you. We're going to all rejoin the main meeting now.
Okay, thank you.
Recording in progress.
Okay, we should have pretty much everyone back in the main meeting now. So thank you so much for that exercise. Did everyone feel like that was a reasonable amount of time for those questions?
No.
Okay. Do you think 10 minutes would be a little bit better for the next question? Next one's a little more
detailed. Yeah, you know, it's really because everybody is giving their information and there's just not enough time to expound on much. You know, you get a sense of what's happening, but we're looking for resolutions here.
Right. Okay. Thank you. So we'll give a little bit more time for the next question. So if everybody's back, if you folks could have someone from each of the three breakout rooms, maybe summarize some of the issues, concerns, and ideas that you had pertaining to what's working in your communities with historic preservation and some of the challenges that you're facing. So we'll open that for a little bit of public discussion before we move on to the next question. So do you all need a refresher for who was in what room? Do you know which breakout rooms you were in? Or should I share that information just for everybody?
Maybe we can share it again.
Okay, so let's have the folks from breakout room one first. So in breakout room one, we had Charles, Chris Kramer, Laura Ruby, M. Kehaulani, Haraz Fuzzy, and Rosalind Nicole Manawaya Kea Malama Cummings. So if you all could come together and have someone present some of the key issues that you discussed, that would be excellent.
Laura seemed to be listening very intently. Maybe Laura can do it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I would have to say that what is the forward movement that we would like to have everybody knowledgeable of things that are going on, and how do we go about doing this? I mean, I did suggest a list. Chris suggested similar other kinds of things, notifications, but we need more than that. When it's just the notification coming up is a little bit late, even. We need something that says who the property owners are, and even asking them, are they intending to stay on the land or are they intending to sell? Because sometimes those pop up real fast. And then, have a whole series of categories that point towards a future point where everybody can weigh in at an early point and then go from there. I mean, you know, theoretically, people can even approach a property owner and say, are you know, on your own, in your own community, and say, are you planning to sell? Are you happy with what's going on in your own, on your own property, you know, and so forth. I mean, there's all kinds of ways of doing it, but you look for the later end. I don't want to say end point, but you look for something that will forestall anything that happens all of a sudden when you're not aware of it and you have to hop to get some kind of testimony or whatever. Anyway, short of it. Yeah. And Rosalind had a whole lot of methods through legal ways. So she can run you through that too.
So I just was mentioning to them about the knowledge of Kupuna and the process of, you know, the legal battles that we face once the projects are already up, and how the community involvement is very important and significant, because the community has to be aware about the cause and effects of these developments, how it's affecting us, mind, body, soul. The Kupuna call it Uhane a Makua Unihipili. And so we're the kino for that. And so the foundation that we create together as a workforce group, as a lahui, as kia'i, as lineal descendants, whatever you want to call it, mo'opuna of our kupuna, you know, who's bringing forth this ike knowledge, we got to understand why it is that this is happening. And it really truly is a legal battle. And like I was trying to explain to them that it's pretty much a due process that we have to go through. And that's why it's important for us to have these meetings, because it becomes public notice. And once you have a public notice and you state that these are the issues, and I've already mentioned these issues, you contact them, email, phone calls, letter, and then you do the judicial process, which is filing all of it in the Hawaii Supreme Court County Clerk's office. And once you're done with that, then you do your complaint and claims. Mahalo.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, great. So next, if we could have some of the folks from breakout group two, which was Allison Lewis, Elizabeth Okinaka, Faye McFarland from Ahamoku O'Maui, Sophronia Joslin, and Serge Chu. If you folks could have your representative kind of summarize a lot of the issues you all talked about.
Most of our folks were from Kauai, so maybe one of them can go.
What, you guys want me to try?
Mahalo.
Hi, okay, yeah, so we had a discussion between Kauai and Maui, and it sounds like our problems are very similar. We aren't getting responsiveness from our police departments or from our judicial or from SHPD in protecting burials and cultural sites. And when cases are taken to court, we're often trying to do it pro se or trying to get help from Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation, which is slow in responding often or not willing to take the cases. And yeah, it was a good discussion group because I don't think we solved very much about how SHPD can help. We just kind of discussed how we're gonna have to help ourselves. So that's kind of a sad conclusion, but it was good to meet other people who are having the same struggle and have some camaraderie in that. Does anyone want to, from my group want to add anything to that?
I might get your information later.
Okay, thank you for that. Thank you, Hui Tu.
Okay, so group three is Brenda Lowry, Hi'iaka Jardine, Kaya'ulu o Kahalu'u is her organization, Nick Bluzzo and Simi McMichael. If you want to have someone summarize some of the discussions that you all had.
Yeah, so I guess I'll speak for us because I pretty much took up the whole time. Sorry. But basically what it came down to was, and I'm hearing it from the other groups too, is we need to find a way to get our community more involved in these different processes because a lot of people are not familiar and they're not sure how to navigate, not sure how to engage. And what is the proper way and most effective way to engage in these different processes with SHPD and the state and other government entities. And then we also discussed more so the property that I was talking about earlier that actually took up most of the discussion. And yeah, that's it. Mahalo.
Okay, thank you.
It's great to see that there's some overlap of issues on the different islands and that you all have the opportunity to come together and have conversations about that. So I think that you might find the next set of questions helpful as well to kind of think through, and I will drop them in the chat actually instead of just showing them to the screen. So everyone should be able to see them in the chat momentarily. And you know, it's intended to be food for thought. Like you don't have to come up with specific answers, but it's more sort of a visioning exercise of what do you really want to see? I mean, what does actual historic preservation look like in the best case scenario? And you know, what are some of the actions and outcomes and scenarios that you would be supportive of to see that happen? So that should still be visible in the chat. Again, I'm gonna put everyone into breakout rooms. I think this time we'll give you more time. I do think that 10 minutes would be appropriate, or would you rather have like 15?
I think we can start with 10. And then if we have another set of questions, then we can offer more time.
Yeah, we only have three sets of questions. So this is question set number two. I don't know if you're automatically going to get assigned to the same group of people. It'd be kind of nice if it didn't, but I'm going to, once again, you're going to have to agree. You're going to have to look for the invitation to go into the breakout group and accept it. And that will be coming momentarily.
Thank you, Dr. Luthi, for setting that up for us too. I think it's very interesting to have everyone be able to communicate and to exchange information too with one another.
Yeah.
Mahalo.
Okay, so everyone should have gotten an invitation just now to join your breakout rooms.
So 7:14, 7:15 or 7, no wait.
Hi, I just got a notification that I was asked for help in the breakout room.
Oh, because we can't see the questions.
Oh, so you don't see it in the chat? Okay.
No.
Okay, okay. Let me drop that back in the chat for you. Hopefully. Okay, one minute. Can you see it now?
I do see it now. Does anyone else?
I see it.
Okay, thank you.
Okie dokie. Great. So I will go back to the main room. Thank you.
Important to think all of the other staff are way overworked because they haven't hired all of the many staff members that they can. And so the prescriptive process is to get Shifty to commit to very specific action, because otherwise it's great. The community, I'm a full supporter of everything that is done in the community of all types, but it doesn't get you to where you can get something that will change or be enacted or be, basically a good running into the future.
Hi, I think the question's in the chat now. I'm sorry. It should be available now.
Oh, the question was,
hello?
Recording in progress.
Unmuted.
Hi, I can hear you.
Oh, I'm trying to get into the breakout. Is it possible?
I think that this might be the breakout room for.
I'm in the main chapel.
So Charles.
Yes.
And Esaloha.
Yeah.
And Ron and Mary, this is your breakout room.
Oh.
Ron and Mary. Start talking. What was the question, dear?
Is this Dr. Tamara?
This is. So the question's in the chat, and it says, what does historic preservation excellence look like? Is it a strong regulatory review system, inventory and knowledge of location and significance of sites and contributing properties, acquisition and management of specific properties, nothing demolished ever by anyone, documentation, and then outline some scenarios for outcomes and actions and see what people are concerned and supportive of. What does each of these scenarios look like? It doesn't have to be exactly what's written here. This was a question provided by someone as a prompt who came to the last meeting. It's basically just meant to get you all to envision what you think a strong, excellent historic preservation program for the state would look like.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Marvelous. Take me a little while to decipher the meaning of that question. Anybody want to comment? Mary?
It could just be really simplified by saying, what is it that you really want to see?
Interesting. Scenarios for outcomes. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you for the share. Go ahead. Try. Thank you, Sanders. In Jesus' name. Hello? Anybody home?
Yes, we're just waiting. We are going to, in 1 minute, we're all going to meet back in here.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Recording in progress.
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta be my kid.
Beautiful.
Let's see if I'm muted.
And if you, when you're rejoining us in the room, if you would please mute. Thank you.
Well, I think we have everybody back. Just quick poll. We did have one more question that we were going to ask one set of questions again, but are you all feeling like the breakout rooms are working for you? Would you like to do another question, or do you think that this is sufficient for the time being?
More questions.
Okay, great. Well, then I would invite everyone in breakout room one, if they had anything that they wanted to share. Let me just again remind you all of who those participants were. That was, I believe, Charles, Chris Kramer, Laura Ruby, Kehalani, Haraz Fuzzy, and Rosalind Cummings. I know this question is a little bit wordy, so it was sort of meant to just be a more broad idea of what would you like to see in historic preservation. And so anything, any insights that you all would like to share?
I would think more transparency. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm just, as I've been taking these notes, transparency seems to be a problem, because from what I'm hearing, people aren't, the people who have the most interest in these things aren't being notified until after the fact. And so there's got to be more transparency at the beginning before, you know, permits are even issued. Or I shouldn't say issued, but when somebody is actually applying for a permit rather than after the fact, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I understand that is a pretty serious issue. Yeah.
It seems to be a prevailing issue. And I want to know what can we do to help that, to resolve that issue. I mean, I'm retired, so I could volunteer to do things, but, you know, it just seems kind of, counterproductive.
Yeah, I mean, these are the kinds of issues that I wanted to talk through, because, well, I mean, there's something that was asked at the last meeting that I wanted to clarify, which is that SHPDI actually doesn't issue permits. We're not a permitting agency. What happens is that if it's the Department of Planning and Permitting, or if it's the counties have rules for when they will issue a permit, then that, if it triggers like the 6E review for potential impacts to historic properties, then it comes to our office. And if for whatever reason it's determined there doesn't need to be a permit, like for example, I know in a lot of counties, if a property is less than 1 acre, the county might declare by their own rules that there's no permit needed. Or if there's a certain amount of earth being moved, there might not be a permit required. So in that case, we might not even be notified either. So, I mean, some of these are pretty big systemic issues where there are a lot of different responsibilities at different levels. So, but we agree with you that bit more transparency about the types of projects that are coming through our office would be really helpful for the public.
Is it not true that SHPD has the ability to pull permits once already permitted?
I understand that somewhere in the state offices or somewhere, not before it gets to SHPDI, that there is a concern to get developers fast-tracked. And when they get the fast track, what happens is SHPDI gets an overwhelming number of developers that want to get through the process. And what's happening is all of us that are going through historical or archaeological concerns are sort of the lesser beings in the scheme of things. They've just got so many things to do, and these developers actually get the overwhelming, go ahead. I mean, that can easily be solved by saying that SHPDI handles the historical and the archaeological things, and that the developers go off to some other place. I don't know where. But, there have to be regulations for them. But you know what I mean is they're lumped together, and so we're diminishing all of the things of historical and archaeological importance, and letting the developers have an upper hand in what they're doing.
So as far as the permitting goes, and you know, I'm not necessarily the best person to answer. Part of the reason why we don't answer questions in the meetings is sometimes I don't necessarily have the technical expertise to give you a good answer in this very moment. I have to look up the answers or ask somebody who does have that information. So my understanding is that we can pursue violations if there's clear evidence that a historic property has been damaged, but I don't think that we can actually, we don't get to stop projects. We don't have the authority to stop projects.
I came out of a lawsuit. I'm actually in a current lawsuit against SHPD individuals. Mm-hmm. And the judge asked me the steps that I took. So I told her all the procedures. And right now I'm going to subpoena a lot of the workers, in fact. But the point of it is that I have a recording of the Kauai County Council, including SHPD, stating that they have the ability to pull permit once the process of the application. So I'm wondering if that's the reason why my application was held up to preserve the burials in 18 sites here on Kauai. But that's another reason why I brought this up, is maybe we should have a lot of these meetings actually have lawyers and attorneys that knows laws. I think that SHPD should have a lawyer attorney involved in the meeting to answer these questions.
Yeah, I mean, it would be good if we had people on staff who could do that. And so, you know, anything that I'm saying right now is provisional, and I really can't comment on any ongoing case, particularly since I don't have any knowledge of that case. So, you know, I think that in that instance, I can't offer you any advice.